Now You Get to Say That to Me by V. Against. An Our Flag Means Death fanfiction, read by Little Fingies. Rating explicit, creator chose not to use archive warnings, and for the podfic, no archive warnings apply. Summary: after Izzy dies, Steed comforts Ed. A glimpse into a moment elided by canon. Selected tags include missing scene, hurt comfort, tender sex, and grief mourning. Full tags are available in Behind This Track on SoundCloud and in the archive. Steed waits until he can't bear to wait longer, and then, two beats after that, one to make eye contact with Jim, who nods, and one to make sure that Izzy is really, truly, absolutely dead. Then he's across the deck and kneeling beside Ed. "Ed," he starts, as Ed turns and fully collapses into Steed's side. Steed braces himself against the deck with one hand and wraps the other around Ed's waist as Ed presses his face into Steed's shoulder and draws in a shuddering breath. Jim and Archie kneel on Izzy's other side. Steed wonders if they can carry him between them, but then Izzy's not that big and he's down part of a leg, so... Jim nods at Ed and raises their eyebrows at Steed. Steed frowns, not quite getting what Jim's driving at, until Archie points. Steed looks down, following her finger, and sees that Izzy's hand is threaded through the ends of Ed's long hair. He ducks his head and murmurs into Ed's temple, "Let's let Jim and Archie take care of Izzy, all right?" Ed sucks in another painful-sounding breath and mumbles, "Okay." Steed wants to never, ever let him go. He carefully untangles Izzy's hand. Ed is a dead weight against him, and he takes it, wants to take it, wants to hold up the world if it would help Ed. He stands, carefully, pulling Ed up with him, keeping his arm tight around Ed's waist. Once they're inside the cabin, he shuts the door and reluctantly lets go of Ed. Ed drifts to the center of the room and stands like he's a foal on shaky legs before suddenly starting to rip at the front of his blood-stained British uniform. "Ed," Steed says, stepping close, checking in, always, always, meeting Ed's eyes, asking silently, "Can I touch?" "Please," Ed says. So Steed puts his hands below Ed's and starts to tug the lower buttons free while Ed gets the top ones. Once they're undone, Steed slides his hands up and under the jacket, parting the fabric like a cresting wave, running his hands down Ed's arms as he helps him take it off. Ed is just in his black undershirt now, and it catches Steed off guard. He remembers the last time he'd seen Ed like this, the night of Calypso's birthday, and he has to consciously force himself to think of the here and now. Ed's shivery little breaths help ground Steed. Ed pulls the undershirt off, and Steed sees that some of the blood soaked through both layers of fabric, and his stomach is rusty colored. There's also blood tangled in the ends of his hair. Steed thinks of what he'd want most, and guesses Ed will too. "Let me ask Roach to heat the water for the bath," he suggests. Ed swallows and looks up at him. "You worried about the Navy following us?" Steed shakes his head. "We got the jump on them, don't you think?" he asks. That had been the plan, to get as far through the British lines as they could by being disguised, using Ricky as a shield, then make a run for the Revenge while the Navy was in disarray. Steed shrugs, remembering the beach. "We certainly dispatched enough of them." Ed meets his eyes and gives him the most wavering, beautiful smile Steed's ever seen. "I think between you, me, and Zheng, we took out half the garrison." "We're a good team," Steed says. "Yeah," Ed agrees, but there is something in his voice, some underlying worry, that makes Steed reach for him instinctually. Ed catches his hand and wraps it up in his, tucks it into the hollow under his collarbone, and sighs. "Yeah," he says, voice lower, more contemplative. "Reckon a bath would really do me good." Steed is still marveling at how perfect it feels to touch Ed. He'd never, ever have imagined that he'd want to touch someone all the time, but here Ed is. What had the Swede said about Jackie? Her love had allowed him to discover parts of himself he'd never known. Steed had felt that sentence like a knife under his breastbone. "I'll go ask Roach to heat the water," he says, "and check on our course." It occurs to him that Ed might want to be alone with his grief for Izzy. Do you want the cabin to yourself for a bit?" Ed's eyes come together in an instant frown. "No," he says, flatly, before taking a deep breath. "I mean, I don't want anyone else in here, but if they can spare you up there, I..." He stops, squeezes Steed's hand, and then says in a quiet voice, "I want you here." Heart beating hard, Steed steps close and kisses Ed softly on the lips. Ed makes a startled little noise and squeezes his hand harder. "I'll be back," Steed says. I love..." "Don't," Ed whispers. "Sorry, I don't want to..." He widens his beautiful eyes. "I don't want to remember it from now, the first time you say it. Okay?" "Okay," Steed says. He smiles. "But, you know." Ed smiles back, shakily. "I know." Steed goes to Roach in the galley and asks for bathwater before heading up to the wheel. Zhang, Alu, and Frenchie are all there, Zhang using a looking glass while Frenchie steers, and Alu seems to be... Steed's not sure. He guesses providing moral support to Zhang. He remembers suddenly that Alu was planning to leave with Zhang, and sees the look he's giving her, and thinks that someone, Lucius, is going to have to explain all of this to him, because he'd understood Jim and Alu, and the addition of Archie, yes, he's not inclined in any sort of way to either be polyamorous or interested in Archie, but he knew about that. But now here's Alu and Zhang, and while Steed can certainly understand the appeal of a remarkable pirate captain, he's just not sure he gets the geometry of the whole thing. "Everything good?" he asks the three of them. "I don't see anyone behind us, if that's what you're asking," Zhang says, offering him the looking glass. Steed takes it and scans the horizon. The Republic of Pirates is so far behind them now that it shimmers above the waves like a mirage. There's no other immediate land in sight, though Steed knows they're bound for a hidden cove to the west, a hideout Ed thought would work when they were still planning back in Jackie's. "Good," Steed says, exhaling a breath he hadn't known he was holding. "I think we've made a lucky escape." Zhang gives him a sideways glance. "There is the issue of hierarchy on the ship, though." Steed hands her back the looking glass and remembers. Of course, Izzy had been acting first mate after Buttons had completed his transmogrification. Steed had thought it would be good for Izzy to have something to do. He knew Ed was worried about Izzy, even if he'd never say it. And he'd enjoyed having Ed's first mate as his own, since it reminded him of being co-captains. But now, Izzy is gone, which is fresh enough as to still feel unreal. Surely he'll come clomping up the stairs any minute to tell Steed some new way he finds him inadequate. Frenchie was Captain Blackbeard's first mate, Alu supplies. After, the whole thing where he shot Izzy. Steed looks at Frenchie, who is handling the wheel and looking down at the deck. "Field promotion, was it?" he asks gently. Frenchie puts out his hand, palm down, and waggles it back and forth. "A bit like that, yeah." "Well, if Ed wanted you for that role, I trust him completely," Steed says. He smiles at the other man. "First mate, Frenchie. It's even fun to say." Zhang makes a strangled noise beside him that Steed ignores. He knows she's not a fan of whimsy. "You know where we're headed?" he asks Frenchie. "I do, Captain. Got the bearings and everything." Excellent, Steed says. The sun is sinking ahead of them. Roach must have that water heated by now, and his heart is with Ed in their cabin. Well, I trust you to divide up the watches, he says to Frenchie, before remembering that Zhang is just one of several additional guests. And, I suppose we'll need to figure out sleeping arrangements. We'll take care of it, Captain, Alu says. Don't worry. Right, Steed says. Well, I'm going to turn in for the night, I think. When Steed returns, Ed is sitting on the floor in the cabin, legs crossed, a stained rag and his leather jacket beside him on the floor. He's leaning over something in his lap. Steed has to take a moment in the doorway to just look at him, marveling that this beautiful man is here, that this beautiful man is his boyfriend. Ed looks up and raises his eyebrows. It's clear that he's done a lot of cleaning up with the rag, and his face is more relaxed, too. Didn't want to muck up the bathwater, he says, gesturing at himself with one hand and holding. Is that my letter? Steed blurts. Ed smiles, a real, genuine, big smile, and says, Yeah, funny story about that. Steed sits down hard in front of Ed, crossing his legs and reaching for the letter. But Ed pulls it away, now grinning. Nuh-uh, he says. Mine. Let me just see which one it is, Steed protests. Which day it's from? Which day? Ed asks. Yeah, Steed says. I mean, I wrote you one every day. Steed, Ed says, and his grin has transformed into something both more tender and more joyous. Every day? I thought I'd die if I couldn't talk to you, Steed says, matter-of-factly. It was the only way I knew how. He makes another attempt to grab the letter, and Ed holds it behind his back. Why can't I see it? I need to know a lot more, Ed says. I told you I wrote you letters, Steed protests. You didn't say what kind of letters. I thought it was pretty obvious. Ed is still giving him that look of incandescent happiness. Then he pauses and says, Really, Steed? Every day? I said what I said, Steed snips. So there's 97 more of these, Ed says. And that's a dagger to the gut, isn't it? Ed knows exactly how many days they were apart. 91, I think, Steed says softly. It took me a few days to get to the Republic of Pirates. Ed scoots a little closer, though he's still holding the letter behind his back. Their knees touch, and Steed tips forward like their mouths are magnets and kisses him. Ed makes that surprised noise again, but then one of his hands is up, cupping Steed's cheek. I missed you so much, too, Ed whispers against Steed's lips. Steed squeezes Ed's knee, then tries snaking his hand up Ed's arm to wrestle the letter out of it. Ed giggles into his mouth and dodges. At least tell me how you found it, Steed asks, leaning back. Did you fish it out? Ed shakes his head. Found it on the beach, he says. He sighs. I was fucking awful at fishing, Steed. I'm sure you weren't, Steed says, hating to hear Ed talk about himself like that. You're not awful at anything. I didn't catch a single fish, Ed says. My entire fishing career. You caught that one, Steed reminds him. Ed gives Steed a sly grin. Heard it wasn't that great. Steed frowns. Ed. You were right, Ed says softly. He cups Steed's cheek again and presses their foreheads together. I panicked. We should talk about that, Steed says delicately. I'd like to talk about that. There's a knock on the cabin door that makes Steed twist around to look. Then Roach yells through it. Bath's hot. Thank you, Steed calls. He turns back to Ed in time to see him very carefully folding the letter and sliding it into a pocket of his jacket. You're really not going to tell me? He asks, exasperated. Ed takes Steed's hand in his, looking at the floor, and says, so quietly that Steed has to strain to hear him, "We wrote our names on each other in permanent ink." "Oh," Steed says, warmth spreading through him. "You know, I think that was one of my better ones." Ed gives Steed a look through his eyelashes that makes Steed's heart start pounding. "I want to read them all." He squeezes Steed's hand and stands, tugging Steed up along with him. He looks at the floor. "Want a bath too?" "That would be very nice," Steed says, "though I'm exhausted and liable to fall asleep in there." "Well, I'll make sure you don't drown," Ed says, still doing that through-the-eyelashes look that makes Steed sweat. Steed realizes Ed wants them to bathe together. Oh, because Ed is his boyfriend. He'd said that he fucking loved being Steed's boyfriend, in fact. "I'd love that," he says. "Yeah," Ed says. "Me too." It's awkward, for just a moment, when they're undressing separately beside the tub. But then Ed reaches out a hand and puts it on Steed's bare arm so he can shimmy out of his naval uniform trousers. And Steed leans on him to do the same, and they hold each other's hands tightly as they step into the bath at the same time. "Oh, fuck, it's so nice and hot," Ed moans, squeezing Steed's hand. Steed is struck a little dumb by the sight of Ed, naked, skin glowing bronze in the dim candlelight. They sink down together into the water, facing each other, trying to fit their legs into the cramped center of the tub without kicking anything too important. "Going to dunk my hair," Ed says, "so I can wash it." "Can I wash it?" Steed blurts, instantly embarrassed for asking. But Ed just smiles and dips his head forward, his hair falling around his neck. Steed wets it gently, then lathers it, taking extra care to massage Ed's scalp. "I love your hair," he murmurs, running his fingers through it to rinse out the soap. "Thank you," Ed says quietly, voice muffled by his curtain of hair. "There we go," Steed says, reluctantly smoothing it back from Ed's face and running his hands palm down over where it falls on Ed's shoulders. "So lovely." Ed gives him a melting look, then says, "Come here." "Hmm? Let me wash yours?" "Oh," Steed says, startled. "Yes, please." Ed's hands are warm and careful, and Steed does his absolute best not to knee him in the balls as he leans forward into Ed's touch. When Ed is finished, he says, "You've got nice hair, too." Steed kisses Ed's hand. "Thank you." "I'm just gonna," Ed says, and rises partially out of the water. "You're sloshing water everywhere," Steed says fondly. "You're sloshing water everywhere," Ed replies, sloshing even more as he twists around to settle between Steed's legs. Steed wraps his arms around Ed as he nuzzles into the juncture of Steed's neck and shoulder. There's that feeling again, sharp as vertigo. He could have lost Ed. Ed could have bypassed the gravy bucket completely and gone straight into whatever lies beyond this earthly plane. And Steed would never have gotten to hold him like this. He feels sick with it, so he tightens his grip on Ed, who makes a little noise and burrows further into him. "You know," Steed says, trying to shove that feeling out by, "Yes," talking it through. "It's just so good to have you to talk to again, Ed." He feels Ed draw in a little breath against him. "Better than writing letters?" Ed mumbles into his neck. "Oh, yes." Steed grins sheepishly into the top of Ed's head. "On one particularly sad occasion, I even went and talked to your wanted poster." Ed pushes himself up with one hand on the side of the tub and looks at Steed. How does he make his eyes that big? "My wanted poster?" "It didn't even look like you," Steed says, laughing at the memory. It looked horrible. Whoever drew it had no skills at all, but I was desperate. Ed settles back against Steed's chest, his long hair fanning out around them both. You know how I found that letter? It was on the beach, you said. Well, some fucking English officer found it in the bottle and was reading it to his mate. And Ed sits up again, gesturing with one hand. He was laughing at it. Can you fucking believe that? The most lovely letter anyone's ever written, and this guy's fucking laughing? He shakes his head and curls back into Steed. Anyway, I stabbed him and grabbed it, and then... He takes a deep breath. Well, then, I didn't know where you were, and I thought... He stops talking abruptly. He's had both arms wrapped around Steed's waist, but he raises one now to press palm down into Steed's chest, over his heart. Steed can feel the tremors in his fingers. I know, he says softly. I thought the same about you. I fucking hate this, Ed says, voice thick with tears. Steed shuts his eyes and breathes into Ed's hair, trying to transmit this unending wellspring of feeling out of his chest cavity and into the palm of Ed's hand. Not this, Ed adds, pressing that palm a little harder into Steed's skin. Not this, Steed. I know. I want to know you're safe, Ed says. I don't want to lose you again. Steed tries to sit with that. It's a lot. He'd thought he understood before, when Lucius told him about Ed's behavior in his absence, and then again when he'd seen the revenge, seen the obvious manifestation of Ed's pain. And yet it still takes him aback just how much he means to Ed. Steed wishes he could see Ed's face, but maybe it'll be easier to say this without having to confront those eyes. Listen, Ed, I'm not... No one's ever... I'm not used to someone caring so much that I'm here. Ed's hand on his waist tightens, and Steed reaches down to pat it, then interlace their fingers. I don't want to lose you either. When I thought you were... Well... His voice breaks, and he finds he can't really say anything more, but Ed nods against his neck. They both sit in silence for several minutes, clutching onto each other. Slowly, things start to feel less dire. Ed strokes his finger up and down Steed's bicep and giggles when Steed shivers. The water is starting to cool, and as much as Steed doesn't want to stop holding Ed, he can feel him starting to shiver. Come on, he says softly. Let's get out. I'll get us robes, Ed says, patting Steed's chest and standing. Steed watches him, and the sight of Ed's body makes Steed ache. He lets himself feel it. It's not something shameful to run away from, not when it's Ed. Nothing about Ed could ever be shameful. Ed returns from the main cabin wrapped in the purple robe, holding the teal one out to Steed. He'd bought both of them when they'd been shopping before Calypso's birthday, seemingly unable to choose between them, but it's obvious to Steed now that Ed bought them to share. He stands, putting a hand on the wall to steady himself, and looks up in time to see Ed's eyes flick up and down his own body. Then Ed steps close and offers Steed his hand to help him out of the tub. Ed's hand feels electric. Steed holds onto it tightly and lets Ed fuss over him with a towel, then wrap him up in the soft teal robe. Roach left us dinner, Ed says softly, tying the belt on the robe. I'm actually starving. They eat in the cabin, Ed sitting with his legs stretched across Steed's lap, neither speaking much except to comment on the food. When they're finished, Steed stands and takes up the little tray Roach had left. It's late, he says. I'll run this back to the galley. Ed nods, yawning hugely, then tips his face up at Steed. When Steed cocks his head, Ed closes his eyes and purses his lips. Steed can't help it. He starts grinning so wide he can feel it in his cheeks. He bends close and kisses Ed softly. Ed melts forward into him and murmurs, "Hurry back." "I will," Steed says, feeling like he's back in the bath again, floating in warmth. He practically runs to the galley, deposits the dishes in a way that will probably earn him a rebuke from Roach in the morning, and rushes back to his love. They've spent many nights in this cabin together, but only one with both of them in the bed. Ed is standing in the center of the room, looking lost, so Steed says, "Would you like it all to yourself?" Ed startles and looks at Steed, shaking his head. "No," he says quietly. "I wouldn't like that at all." Steed smiles and crosses to take Ed's hand in his. "Why don't you get in bed?" he asks gently. "I'll join you in a minute." Ed nods and squeezes Steed's hand before they part. Steed knows how to linger over his ablutions to give a partner a chance to pretend to fall asleep, so he does now, just in case Ed wants that. But when he comes out, Ed is sitting on the edge of the bed, still in his robe, with his legs crossed at the ankle. "Hi," Steed says. He steps into the bed nook and pulls the curtain shut, then looks back at Ed. He's viscerally reminded of the night of Calypso's birthday, of Ed sitting on the bed, waiting for him. "Hi," Ed says. He reaches for Steed, and Steed steps into his arms, letting Ed rest his head against Steed's stomach, arms around Steed's hips. Steed puts his hands on Ed's shoulders, then strokes Ed's hair back from his face. Do you tie this back?" he asks. Ed nods against his stomach. "Can I do it for you?" Ed huffs a breath against Steed's stomach, then holds out his wrist. Steed extracts the tie from around it and carefully tugs his hair up, being as gentle as he can be to twist all the strands into a loose bun and tie it back. "That good?" Ed puts up his hand and feels it, then nods. "Thank you." Steed feels him hesitate, like he's figuring out how to say something, so he waits. And sure enough, Ed looks up at Steed and says, "I'm really tired." "Me too," Steed says, and that seems to release some of Ed's tension. Ed shrugs out of his robe and is fully nude underneath it. Steed's brain goes a bit fuzzy. He's actually not that tired, come to think of it, but of course he wants Ed to get sleep, so he takes the robe out of Ed's hands and hangs it up beside the bed. Ed makes a little humming noise, then carefully undresses Steed, batting his hands away when he makes any move to help. Steed has slept nude exactly one night of his life, but it seems like it's about to become a habit. He climbs into the bed, and Ed immediately presses himself against his side, then rolls and drapes one leg over Steed's, slotting their naked thighs together and curling his arm around Steed's waist. Steed wraps him up in his arms and kisses the top of his head. Steed starts to drift, but he can feel that Ed's body is still tense against him. "You all right?" he murmurs, fighting sleepiness. "I might get horny," Ed says, soft, like a confession. "Just in the middle of the night." Steed stops being sleepy. "Like last time?" he asks, remembering Ed shifting against him, waking sometime before dawn to find that his own hands were already reaching for Ed, like they'd both been reliving the night before in their dreams and needed to reenact it. "Like last time," Ed agrees. "Well," Steed says, "I'll be right here." Ed says. "Yeah, don't go anywhere." "Promise, I won't." Ed crosses his arms over Steed's chest and puts his chin on his wrists. "You won't, will you?" he asks, sounding odd. Never, Steed vows. Ed looks teary-eyed. Steed loves him so much it hurts. They shuffle around a bit, Steed turning on his side and more thoroughly wrapping Ed up in his arms. So Ed is mostly on his stomach, with one leg curled around the back of Steed's thighs. Steed shuts his eyes again, starts to drift off, and then Ed says, "Maybe I'm a little horny." Steed gives his leg an experimental push in the direction of Ed's dick, and yep, that's correct, which makes Steed stop being sleepy again. He's leaning forward to kiss Ed when Ed says, "By the way, the sex wasn't a mistake." Steed wonders if you can get arousal whiplash. "That's wonderful to hear," he says. "I mean, like," Ed continues, voice a mumble against Steed's collarbone. "None of it was, I don't think. Maybe it was a little fast, but I wanted it. I mean, you slammed me into a wall. I fucking wanted it." Steed is back to being aroused. "Yeah?" "Yeah," Ed says, nodding. Steed shifts against Ed, grinds a little. Ed makes a noise of want, low in his throat, and grinds back. Steed reaches down and puts his hand on the soft part of Ed's waist, just above his hip, and grips just hard enough to adjust Ed's position against his body. Ed whines and throws his head back, exposing his neck, so Steed starts mouthing along it, little nipping kisses under the neat line of Ed's beard that make Ed go all shivery. Then Ed says, all in a rush, "The sex was fucking perfect." Steed stops. He doesn't know what Ed's trying to say. "Thank you?" he asks against Ed's neck. Should we talk about this?" Ed says. Steed raises his head and sees Ed's thinking face. It's sexy, but only because Ed is inherently sexy, and Steed thinks this is probably the end of it for right now. He attempts to reset his hands into a comforting hold. "Yeah, I guess we should," Ed says. He sighs. "I panicked. During the... when we were..." Steed attempts to ask, horrified that he somehow hadn't picked up on that. "No," Ed says, refocusing on Steed's face and shaking his head emphatically. "Steed, you were there. Did I seem like I was panicking?" "No," Steed says. And then, feeling wonderfully cheeky, he adds, "But you were doing a lot of yelling." Ed giggles. "Yeah, I fucking was, babe, 'cause you're incredible." Steed might just float up and out of the window if Ed keeps up with this. But the next day, he attempts to move the conversation along. "You panicked." "Yeah," Ed says. And then stops talking. "Why?" Steed asks eventually. "Whim prone?" "No," Ed says. He hesitates again, then says in a rush, "Thought you might be." "Ah," Steed says, and that certainly killed it. "I'm not, Ed." He carefully traces the lines of Ed's cheek. "Not about you." "Yeah?" Ed asks, eyes extremely big. "What about, what if I don't want to be a pirate anymore?" "I know you don't want to be a pirate anymore," Steed says. "You told me the first day we met, remember?" "Yeah," Ed says. He hesitates again. "What?" Steed prompts gently. "You do," Ed says. He looks up at the ceiling for a long moment before glancing at Steed like he can't quite look him in the eye as he asks, "Right? You do?" Steed frowns. Things have felt so fragile between him and Ed until today that he feels like he's been devoting almost all of his mental resources to desperately trying to stitch them back together. He hasn't taken the time to think about what it might look like once that seam felt secure. What does he want? He feels the edge of something, a choice, maybe, a diverging path, and he's done that a few times recently. But the first time, he'd made a mess of it, left so many threads back to the life he was trying to separate himself from. Then he'd had to go back and sever those threads, and gosh, these are quite a lot of sewing analogies, aren't they? Maybe because he'd sewn up so many real things in this very cabin as a part of that desperate stitching. "I don't know," he says, finally. "What do you want to do?" Ed shrugs, says, quickly, "Whatever you want to do." Steed shakes his head. "No, Ed, I really think we need to come to this together." Ed gives him a big-eyed look. "What do you mean?" "I mean," Steed says, firmly, "I have no intention of making a major life decision without you." He looks back at Ed, feeling brave. "Ed, I am all in with you. So, whatever we are going to do, we are going to do it together." He pauses. Ed's eyes are somehow even bigger. "If that's what you want, of course." "That's what I want," Ed says. "Yes, Steed, that is what I want." "Great," Steed says. They look at each other for a long moment. "That's a lot of mental pressure, isn't it?" Steed asks. "Being all in?" "No," Steed says, squeezing Ed's side. "Trying to figure out what to do with our future." "Oh, yeah," Ed says. He stretches out on the bed and yawns hugely. "Maybe we'd better sleep on it." "Good idea," Steed says. They shuffle around each other, interlacing hands and legs, Ed tucking his head into Steed's neck, then wriggling a bit, then pulling on the blankets, then getting tugged back into Steed's arms. "Not used to this," Steed says, trying to explain whether or not instantly comfortable. "Do you like this? I'm maybe not doing it right." "You're doing it perfect," Ed mumbles. "Just getting comfy, that's all." He tips his head up and kisses Steed. "Night-night." "I can let go of you if that'll be more comfy," Steed says. "Just trying to make sure." "Don't you dare," Ed says, wrapping his arm around Steed's waist. Steed is physically and emotionally exhausted, but his mind won't stop worrying. What could their future look like? Does Ed even want to be on the Revenge? He remembers Ed telling those children that they were innkeepers. And of course, he'd once disguised himself by saying he was an accountant. And he'd also said he could open a restaurant. And what does Steed want? He tries to dig back into his memory to think of wanting something that wasn't escape. "Can you sleep?" Ed murmurs. "Not really," Steed admits. "Yeah, me neither. Lots of things to think about." "Really fucking are, huh?" Steed nods and strokes his hand through a strand of hair that's slipped loose near Ed's temple. "What are you thinking about then?" Ed asks. Steed shrugs. "Oh, nothing important," he says. Ed props his head up on one hand, elbow bent, and looks down at Steed. "It's important to me." Steed meets Ed's eyes and sees how serious he is. He puts out a hand and touches Ed's cheek. Ed turns and kisses his palm. "Go on." "It's silly," Steed starts. "Bet it's not." "It is, a little bit." "Not gonna argue with you about it, babe." Ed kisses Steed's palm again, raises his eyebrows again. Steed can't do anything but melt in the face of such charm. "When I was young," he starts, "I used to read all the time. I mean, I still love to read. You know that, of course. But I mean, really all the time." He swallows and then says in a rush, "It was an escape, you know? I wanted to just live between the covers of books rather than have to live in what was outside of them." "Yeah," Ed says softly. "And I read all sorts of things. But I particularly loved adventure stories. You know, heroes, princesses, plucky sidekicks, wicked kings, that sort of thing." He smiles, remembering how those stories had given him such comfort. Ed nods encouragingly. But there was always something off with them, something I didn't quite like. So I started making up my own versions. Oh, Ed says. Go on. Well, Steed says, they would always start with the hero doing something like, I don't know, being a gallant knight running up into a tower to rescue a princess whose evil father had locked her away. But she'd meet him on the stairs, already having murdered her captors with a knife stashed in her garter. They'd escape together, fight their enemies back to back, be brave together and protect each other. Sometimes she'd need rescuing, but sometimes she'd rescue the knight, too. Ed lifts Steed's arm and snuggles into his chest under it. Love that, he says. They were equals, Steed says. They complemented each other. He tips his head to the side, so his cheek is pressed into Ed's forehead. That's what I wanted, he adds, softly. All I ever wanted, really, to have an equal to love completely. Ed snakes an arm around Steed's waist. And what would happen after they escaped danger? Steed shrugs. Another danger would arise, I guess. Oh, Ed says. He snuggles in a little closer and tugs Steed's leg between his own. They'd never take a break? A break? Steed asks, half lost and trying to remember his imagination game. You know, Ed says, and very deliberately arches his hips into Steed's. Like when the danger was over, when they were alone. Steed's body responds before his brain. He's turning into Ed and kissing him deeply. Ed opens his mouth and wraps his arms around Steed's neck, tugging him closer. Mmm, Steed says, pulling back from the kiss as Ed rolls his hips again. Steed slides his hand down Ed's side, from the thick muscle of his upper arm down to his soft waist, marveling at Ed's skin beneath his palm. I did think about that a bit, he admits. Just a bit? Ed asks, sliding one hand into Steed's hair, then down to his neck, pulling him into another kiss. What did this princess look like? Nothing too clear, Steed says, truthfully. And isn't that funny? He'd never really pictured her at all, except beautiful hair. He winds his other hand into Ed's curls and cups the back of his head. Always such beautiful hair, he adds, deliberately not using a pronoun. And this princess, Ed gasps as Steed starts mouthing at his neck, then says, voice breathy, this princess wanted you to fuck her, yeah? Steed moans into Ed's neck, gets a firmer grip on his waist, and pulls their bodies together, grinding against him. Ed gasps again, throwing his head back, and Steed speaks into the hard line of his neck, feeling out of control. Sometimes, but sometimes I wanted her to fuck me too. Oh, fuck yeah, Ed says. Fucking love that, but tonight. Tonight I'll do whatever the princess wants, Steed says. Fuck me then, Ed gasps. Steed rolls on top of him, pressing his legs between Ed's as Ed spreads his. He feels the hard line of Ed's cock against his stomach and the hard press of his own cock against Ed's inner thigh. Were you just asking me what I was thinking to get me to fuck you? Steed teases. Absolutely not mad, even if the answer is yes. No, Ed says, voice surprisingly serious. He reaches up and puts both hands on Steed's face. No, Steed, I asked you because I always want to know what you're thinking. Steed blinks, startled. Oh, is the best he can muster. Getting you on top of me is just an added bonus, Ed adds, grinning up at Steed like the cat that got the cream. And oh, Steed loves him. He loves him. He loves him. This is the second time I'm making love to Ed, Steed thinks wildly. He'd known Ed loved him the first time. Of course he had, As soon as he knew what love felt like, he knew it's what Ed had for him, because Ed's love for Steed is palpable in everything he does, whether or not he says the words. But things had still felt uncertain. They'd clung to each other that night like some outside force could rip back the curtains and tear them apart. Like if they didn't get their hands on each other right then, they might never get another chance. We were wrong, Steed thinks, because here they are, and now he knows more. Like how Ed shivers when Steed strokes up from the inside of his knee to his thigh. And how Ed wants to be kissed as much as possible. And how to make Ed arch his back in pleasure when he presses his finger inside of him. Fuck, Steed, please, Ed begs. And Steed loves how shameless Ed is about wanting him, how Ed seems to want him just as much as he wants Ed, a want which recently opened up somewhere below his navel and could fill the entire basin of the Caribbean if he let it. Anything, he tells Ed now. Anything you want. You know what I fucking want, Ed says. He takes one hand off of Steed's shoulder and presses it to his chest. You, Steed. Yes, Steed groans, sinking into Ed, who gasps and digs his fingers into Steed's skin, then slides his hand down to clutch Steed's hip. Steed pauses to breathe because, just like the first time, being inside of Ed is so much. Ed tips his head back, clearly seeking a kiss, and Steed gives it to him. He meant it. He'll give Ed anything. Anything he has the capacity to give. They're lost in the kiss for a timeless span, Steed clenching Ed's hand in his own beside Ed's face, Ed breathing into his mouth, their tongues pressed together, until Ed whines and arches up against Steed, and Steed remembers the rest of his body and shifts forward onto his elbows, feeling the drag of Ed's cock against his stomach as he thrusts deeper into Ed's body. Steed, Ed moans. And that's something, isn't it? The way Ed says his name lights up Steed's heart like fireworks in the night sky. He dips his head, kisses Ed's collarbone, nips at the soft flesh of his shoulder, thrusts again. As Ed throws his head back, eyes squeezed shut, and says, Steed, on a sharp exhale, like Steed's fucking his own name out of Ed's mouth. Steed uses the hand still holding Ed's to push Ed's head forward into another kiss, wet and open-mouthed, Ed hauling Steed in by the hand on his hip and saying his name again into Steed's mouth. Ed, Steed says, needing to slow this down. Ed, fuck. Ed, I was thinking. Thinking? Ed asks, sounding incredulous. Thinking, Steed says, punctuating it with a thrust that makes Ed gasp. About? Steed attempts to get his thoughts in order. It's very difficult. Ed hooks one leg around Steed's waist and hauls him in, kisses him again, slow and filthy, before panting, Tell me. Steed tries. He really does. He wants to tell Ed this. It's important that he tell Ed this. Though why he's decided now is the time, he's not quite sure. Ed clenches around him, and he remembers, Oh, yes. If he doesn't try to say something, he's going to come very hard, very quickly, and that's not exactly optimal form, not when Ed's not come yet, so... I thought, he manages to say, that people were lying about love. Ed goes still beneath him, eyes enormous. For years and years, Steed says, smoothing his fingers through the sweat beating on Ed's temple. I didn't believe it was real. Yeah, Ed whispers. Then I met you, Steed says. He kisses Ed again, tenderly this time, as Ed clutches at his back. I understand, now, what love is. Fuck, Ed says. Steed. He reaches up with one hand and wipes furiously at his eyes. Just so you know, I don't always fucking cry during sex. Steed nuzzles into Ed's hair where it clings onto his neck from sweat, trying to control his breathing. Me either. Fuck off, Ed says, voice shaking. Okay, Steed replies, and fucks into Ed hard enough that Ed's hands fly to Steed's hips. They build a rhythm, until Steed remembers suddenly how this had felt last time, how Ed's thighs are shaking around him now, Ed's entire body, a taut line beneath him, his head thrown back. So Steed reaches for Ed's cock and wraps his hand around it. Say it, Ed gasps. Steed, tell me, say it. I love you, Steed says, and Ed shakes apart, coming all over Steed's hand and both their stomachs, clutching onto Steed's hips like if he lets go, he'll disintegrate. Of course, Steed follows him over the cliff, pressing his forehead down into the hollow below Ed's collarbone and shutting his eyes to block out everything but the waves of pleasure crashing over him. When he comes back to himself, Ed is petting his hair with one hand. His other hand is thrown over his eyes. Steed lays his head down on Ed's chest, his ear pressed above Ed's heart, and for several moments they lie like that. Steed is rarely aware of the movement of the sea around the ship nowadays, but he feels it now, rocking them gently, safe where they lie inside their home. The end. Please use the link in behind this track to return to the archive and leave comments and kudos for V Against for this story. And of course, I always appreciate any comments on the podfic. Thank you.